This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Much attention in D.C. is being paid this week to the problems with the rollout of the Affordable Care Act website and allegations of spying by the NSA on American allies. But there are plenty of political watchers who are keeping a very close eye on the fallout from the government shutdown and the debt ceiling debate. Campaign operatives wondering, how will the government shutdown affect election 2014? Much of the blame of the shutdown focused on Republicans, particularly House Republicans. Michigan's Democrats in D.C. all voted in favor of reopening the government without changing the Affordable Care Act. Republican lawmakers from Michigan, however, were split. Among the state's nine GOP representatives, four voted yes, five voted no. So let's look at how the shutdown might affect Republican congressional seats in Michigan in next year's midterm election. Joining us now is Brian Dickerson, columnist for the Detroit Free Press. Welcome to Stateside, Brian.
Thank you, Cynthia.
And we welcome Ken Sikkema. Ken's a senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants, and he's the former Republican State Senate Majority Leader. Thank you so much for joining us, Ken.
Oh, happy to be with you.
Ken, let me start with you. How badly do you feel the shutdown and the standoff hurt Michigan's Republicans?
Oh, I think I think Republicans took it on the chin here. As you already indicated, the polling nationally indicates that the vast majority of voters blame Republicans. There's a recent poll done by CNN that said 75% of Americans think that no Republican ought to be reelected to Congress. And my own view, frankly, is that the Republican Party has to reject this very extreme and very radical strategy of bringing everything and everybody down just because you don't get your way on one policy issue.
Brian, even though we've heard countless sound bites from hopping mad citizens during the standoff, basically saying, get rid of them all, even the ones we like, do you think that that anger will carry over until Election Day 2014?
Well, I'm not at all confident that it will. If we know anything, it's that both journalists and their audience have a very short attention span, and it seems to have shifted already to the difficulties with the startup of the Affordable Health Care Act. But we have Ken on the line. I would like to ask him a question. It used to be that when you were negotiating with the Speaker of the Republican House, he could speak for most of Michigan's congressional delegation. He was speaking for Candace Miller, for people like Tim Walberg and Bill Zynga. And this time, over and over again through these negotiations, it became apparent that Speaker Boehner wasn't speaking for those people and wasn't speaking for lots of other Republicans. What has happened? What is the calculation of somebody like Candace Miller, who was elected, very popular on a statewide basis, in positioning herself contrary to the Republican leadership on such a high-profile issue?
Well, I can't speak for any individual congressperson, whether it's Candace Miller or anybody else in the Michigan delegation. But my personal opinion is that a lot of them are operating under pure fear. They're afraid of primaries being waged against them. They're afraid of, the Tea Party sort of influence, tactically is, if you don't agree with us 100% of the time, we're going to run somebody against you. So I think fear is rampant, either in Congress or even here in Michigan. And so they've rejected the notion of any kind of leadership. There really is no leadership today. It's every man and woman for him and herself. And they're afraid of what could happen to them in a primary. There is no, in my opinion, Brian, there's no other way to explain these five Republican no votes that, if they were successful, would have not only continued the shutdown, would have put America in default, which is, even Warren Buffett said it's sort of the nuclear option. So
yeah,
that's my view.
And is it not fair for the voters of America to expect that when we send someone to Congress, they're there for the country, not for fear of their own hides?
Well, go ahead. I'm sure it's fair to expect that. I'm not sure it's ever been realistic to expect that. I think that's always been a consideration for incumbents in both parties. It used to be that people who were concerned about their own longevity had to pay a lot more attention to voters from the other party, and in Michigan, to independent voters in particular. They had to worry about staying in the good graces of their party's leadership, whichever party they belonged to, because that was an important source of political and financial support come re-election time. Now that calculus has been upset. Most all of our congressmen represent places where the boundaries have been drawn to heavily favor one party or the other, and they're just not vulnerable to a challenge from the other side. So I'm sure Congresswoman Miller loses not a single night of sleep worrying about how Democratic voters will avenge themselves in her heavily Republican district. She's solely concerned, as Senator Sycamore suggests, with a challenge from her right flank. And the same is true, frankly, of Democrats who, like Kildee, in districts that are 60, 70, 75% Democratic. They don't have to worry about Republican moderates. So I think that's probably the most important factor that's changed.
What about some polls showing, or some analysts are saying, for example, talk about Justin Amash. He is more conservative than his district. I know public policy polling found if the election happened today, 47% of voters would choose a Democratic opponent and 43% would choose Amash. Now, granted, this is a Democratic polling firm, but Ken, has Justin Amash been damaged by this standoff in your view?
Oh, I think so. He will face a credible conservative Republican challenge in his district, a person who's already announced. Who's going to mount, by all indications, a very aggressive, well-funded campaign. Frankly, I think any incumbent congressman, if the election were actually held this November, actually I think a number of them would get defeated because of the anger that's out there. And they would get defeated not because they have any great opponent, but just because they were there. Now, as Brian mentioned, and I agree with him, that the election is actually a year from now, and people's memory is so short and so many things will happen that this current anger might dissipate. But, yes, Congressman Amash is going to have a credible opponent, and that opponent will use his position on this issue, among other issues. But, really, the elections come down to having these credible opponents. I mean, you can't, a year from now, when the anger that's currently out there sort of dissipates, you're not going to defeat somebody with nobody.
Well, let's talk about credible opponents and switch over to the 11th District. Brian, your column in this past, in recent Free Press, Sunday Free Press, GOP establishment has turned its back on Kerry Bentivoglio. Kind of recap for us what your observations were.
Well, I've called Congressman Bentivoglio in the past the accidental congressman because he came to office under such bizarre and unusual circumstances. He filed as a primary opponent against a heavily favored incumbent, Thad McCotter, and had Mr. McCotter stayed in the race, I would be surprised if Mr. Bentivoglio got within 30 points of him in the primary. But as we know, he didn't, and Bentivoglio was, for all intents and purposes, had the field to himself, and in a heavily Republican district, went on easily to get elected in November. But now, after sort of auditioning as a loyal Republican who would follow leadership and play ball with the speaker, he's sort of reverted to his original iconoclastic persona. He was one of the five Republicans in Michigan who voted against the compromise. And he still will tell you in all earnest that not raising the debt ceiling and forcing the government to put on the brakes and stop paying for things it's already contracted to pay for would be the best possible medicine for the economy. I mean, I think he sincerely believes that. But I don't think most voters, even most Republican voters in the 11th District, believe that.
And as you point out, he did not get a place at the cool kids table. So the GOP establishment has kind of turned its back on him. And he has a credible Republican opponent in David Trott.
He has a very well-financed Republican opponent I think Mr. Benvolio has something like $50,000 in his coffers, and Trott raised more than 10 times that in his first 30 days. So he's really in trouble, again, in his own primary.
Anything you want to add to that, Ken?
Well, I guess my view is that Congressman Benvolio, he'll never be able to overcome himself in this situation. His elevation to Congress was so unique and odd, and his own sort of personality is so unique that I just don't think he'll ever be able to overcome himself, and he'll be defeated in the primary.
Let's look at what needs to happen, Ken, your view, for on behalf of the Republican Party. What needs to happen when January and February roll around, and here we are again facing the same deadlines for the budget and the debt ceiling?
Well, I think, you know, and having been elected and served in the Michigan legislature, not in Congress, but as you get closer to the election in November, and January and February of next year is closer, their calculation changes a lot, dramatically. I think they're thinking to themselves that the perception of us is so negative right now because of what we did and how we did it, we're not going to go down this road again in January and February. So I would be very, very surprised if we saw a replay of this last couple weeks. Now, all they did really is they kicked the can down the road till January, February, or March. But it's a lot of observers are saying, you know, I don't see anything to, you know, that's going to change things. They're going to do this again. But their own personal political calculation is we're a little too close to this November election. And in some cases, to August primaries, I don't think they want to replay this. I think they're going to figure out a way to either resolve it, maybe just by kicking the can down the road again, but to go up against the debt ceiling like this or to face potentially another government shutdown, I don't think they're going to do that.
And Brian Dickerson, what do you think Democrats should be doing to capitalize on this voter anger that's alive right now and turn it into something useful a year from now?
Well, I'm less interested in what's useful for the Democratic Party than what would be useful for the country. And I think the White House has made some good choices about priorities. I think the country's disgust and the Republican House majority's desire to be seen as a constructive force that can do things will both help the president on immigration and a farm bill. Senator Debbie Stabenow was saying there are a lot of Republican congressmen who can't afford to go into their next election with their party having blocked a farm bill that farmers in their states are depending on. So I think that'll probably get done. I think there is probably some basis for optimism that they can make progress on immigration. And I would hope both those things are true.
Cynthia, can I add something?
Absolutely.
I from my standpoint as a Republican, I think one of the great ironies of this mini Republican disaster is they made it all about Obamacare. You know, they were going to shut down the government. We're going to blow through the debt ceiling because they wanted to either defund or stop or change Obamacare. And the great irony is that the problems with the health exchanges and the websites demonstrate some of the risks or problems of Obamacare in and of itself. And, you know, they sort of single-handedly managed to sort of put that on the back pages for a while they led themselves into disaster. And I just think that's one of the great ironies of this failed strategy they utilized.
I couldn't agree with Senator Sycamore more.
Appreciate your insights, both of you. Brian Dickerson, Detroit Free Press, and Ken Sycamore, who is the former Republican State Senate Majority Leader. He is now a Senior Policy Fellow at Public Sector Consultants. Thank you so much to both of you.
It was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you.